Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. It's neighbors talking to neighbors about matters of community interest. Today, our community interest deals with Christmas, the holiday. It deals with a new year, a time of hope, a time of peace, a time of excitement. And I've asked Pastor Larry McEwen, pastor of the North Shore Church here in Slidell, one of our great churches here in Slidell on Kingsington Boulevard, down from Rouse's. Pastor Larry's graciously agreed to be with us today. So I want to say welcome, Pastor. Glad you're here.
Thank you. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, we're just really glad to talk with you today. And you and I have known each other in various ways outside of this interview. As chaplains and serving the community of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the best ways that we can. And I just really felt like the Lord just had a word from you today and for us. And would like to just ask you about Christmas. What's your focus at Christmas? What speaks to you about the holiday?
Well, I love Christmas. I grew up loving Christmas a bunch. We always had Christmas at my grandparents' house in Macomb, Mississippi, and they lived way out in the country. And so I can remember several things about Christmas. I remember I had to get from the bedroom where I would be to get into where Santa Claus would leave stuff, you know, as we kind of thought about Santa Claus back in the day. I'd have to walk through my grandparents' room, and they'd be sleeping, and they had a big old clock that was an alarm clock it just ticked really loud, tick, 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 and my grandmother snored. And I remember having, you know, and I would try to sneak through there, not wake them up, so I could at least go and peek in the living room to see if Santa had come yet.
Okay.
And so that was a lot of fun. And my dad's younger brother and I were just like close friends. And so and sometimes when I'd try to get up, because we would be back there in that back bedroom, and I'd try to get up to go in there to check and see if I woke him up, he'd say, "It's not time to get up yet. Get back to bed." But it was just tons of fun. But my family, it was always a really great, great time of just being with family. And
were you brought up in a Christian home?
Yes, I was. My parents loved the Lord very much and raised me in a Christian home. Now, I rebelled against that as a young teenager. I rebelled. Well, it started out pretty early. I was quite a rascal and rebelled against the Lord. In fact, when I was about 14, almost 15 years old, my dad knocked on my bedroom door one night and said, "Come on, son, we're going to church." And I said, "Dad, I've been thinking about this God thing. It's really not for me, and I'm not going." And my dad was pretty old-fashioned, and he used to say, "Well, as long as you put your feet under my table, you'll do what I say." But this particular night, he looked at me and he said, "Well, son, there's one thing I can't make you do. I can't make you love the Lord. We'll see you later."
Oh, my.
And they left.
Oh, my.
And I was just sort of astounded. I didn't know quite what to do with that. It just felt so weird that I ended up walking to church, because we only lived about a mile and a half from the church. So I went ahead and walked and got there that night. And there was a young guy, bringing the message that I'd never heard before. And he was eventually going to become our pastor. And he preached a message called "The Brutality of the Cross." As I heard that message, I remember thinking, you know, if that's a true story, I'd be a fool to walk away from that kind of love.
Wow.
And I said, I remember as he was preaching, I was thinking in my mind, you know, that'd be a great thing. But even if it's true, I've cursed God's name. I've done so many things that are just not good. I don't even think God could forgive me. And right when I said that, the preacher said, it was at this part of the message, he said, "And Jesus looked down from the cross and looked at the very people that had just spit on him and mocked him and nailed him to the tree. And he said, 'Father, forgive them.
Oh my.
They don't understand what they're doing.'"
God's perfect timing.
Oh,
God's perfect timing.
This old teenage, rebellious teenager, I just went, what just happened? Tears came into my eyes. And I kind of ducked my head down, because I was sort of known as one of the guys that hung out with the tough guys, and I didn't want anybody's tears. What is this?
Yeah.
And I just bowed my head and I said, "Okay, God," I said, "I don't think that was a coincidence. I need you, because my life's a mess." And I cried out for him to save me that night, and he came into my heart and life. And I guess really after that, we're talking about Christmas, but it was like after that night, Christmas became way more about the gift that God had given through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, because I now understood what really was happening that very first Christmas, that God was sending the one that was going to be my Savior to save this old rascal from his sins, and what would have been a lifetime of just, I think if I hadn't made that decision that night, that I probably would have either ended up in a state penitentiary or ought to be in the grave because I was headed that direction.
Well, you know, our born-again experience, mm-hmm. you know, is so amplified at Christmas time.
Yeah.
When a new life began with all that potential, and that night your new life began with all the potential that God has brought and the hundreds and thousands of lives you've touched in the meantime. And as we think about Christmas, the hundreds and the thousands, the hundredth and the millions of lives that have been changed by this precious gospel of Jesus Christ that was beginning to unfold at Christmas time. Well, of the focuses for Christmas based on your experience and where you've come from, what would you consider to be the number one thought? What runs through your mind at Christmas? Maybe not as a pastor saying, well, what do the people need? But just Pastor Larry, what warms your heart? What makes your heart beat this time of year?
Well, I guess really it's kind of two things. One is I kind of go back to Jesus was asked one time what was the greatest commandment of all the commandments. And he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. And when I think about that greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, I think the reason that's something that we want to do is because when you look back at Christmas and you realize that at Christmas that God was sending his one and only begotten Son to take on human flesh and to live here amongst us, knowing that his destiny was an old rugged cross. That just blows my mind. No, God knew that's what would happen, but he also knew he loved us so much, he knew that was the only way for us to be born again. And we couldn't live a good enough life to save ourselves, and so he wanted to make a way for us. So when I think about the star that was in the sky that guided the wise men, you know, I think about the shepherds way back at the wise men obviously came some weeks later. Shepherds were there that night, and the angels appeared and were singing, and they went and found him. And just the real hope that brought of the Messiah that had come to save the world from its sin, and that translates to us as individuals. But to one of the reasons that it's easy for me to love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength is because I owe everything to him. He's not only my creator that gave me life and breath in the first place, but when I decided to kind of rebel against that creator and do everything he said not to do and reject him, he reached out to me in love. And one of the ways he did that was through my dad. In fact, I tell my dad, I said, Dad, you weren't preaching the night I got saved and found Jesus, but you were the one that led me to Christ because of the way you handled that rebellious teenager. When you said, well, I can't make you love the Lord, that's a choice you got to make. And then you left. I saw the saddest look in my dad's face I'd ever seen because he realized that, you know, I can't make him love God. And if he doesn't love God, you know, really in some ways all is lost as far as my son goes. It's because he's going to go the way of the world. And if that happens, that's tragic. Thinking about how the Lord worked those things and led my dad to handle that situation the way he did. And then the fact that the guy that preached that night preached that message, which... and the way things happened that just ended up changing my life. And so some years later, after I made that decision to accept Christ, I was praying one night. It was at church on a Wednesday night. My parents were in choir practice, and a lot of the other kids were out playing basketball out in the church parking lot. And I just went up to one of the old Sunday school rooms and got on my knees and said, God, I just want to know what you want me to do with my life. And I said, please show me, because I want to, you know, you saved me, and I'm so grateful, and I just want to live for you. And I opened up my Bible and reread the crucifixion story in Matthew, and then I turned over and read Matthew 28, where he says, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I just went, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Oh, wow.
So at about 17 years of age, I went down the aisle at the church and shared with my pastor that I feel like God's called me to preach. They licensed me to preach when I was 17, and I started working in a, started preaching in the nursing home every third Sunday. And then I preached in the 4 and 5 year old children's church. That was where I got my start preaching the gospel.
That's awesome. Was, yeah. You know, I'm thinking about your dad. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine a better gift to have given your dad than to see you come to the altar, to see you come to Christ. Not because he said, you got my feet under my table and you'll do what I say, but because Christ tapped at the, knocked on the door of your heart and you opened it. Yeah. I can't think of a better gift. You know, at Christmas, there's a lot of gift giving and a lot of people wanting to what do you need? What do you need? What do you want?
Yeah,
what do you want?
That's right, yeah.
And I can't think of anything that your dad might have wanted more mm-hmm. than to see his son, Larry, walk down that aisle, shed a tear, and then 3 years later said, this gospel means so much, not only for my salvation, but this gospel means so much that I've got to share it with other people.
That's right.
What a wonderful gift to have given to your dad.
Well, it's I'm just thankful for that. And I know a lot of what happened that night was because my mom had been praying for me all through my rebellious times. My dad didn't really quite know what how to handle this rebellious kid and how to discipline him. And my mom didn't either, but she just knew, well, I'm just going to pray. And she did. And so they teamed up, and God blessed, you know, through that. And I'm so thankful to have godly mom and dad that really love the Lord so much.
Amen.
They're still
Amen.
A great, I'm fortunate to still have them.
Yes.
And they're still a huge influence in my life.
That's wonderful. Yeah. You said there were two things this time of year that caught your attention, and I can't imagine anything any more significant than learning to love God and to know that he loves us. But what's the other thing you were thinking about?
Well, when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength was the greatest commandment. He said the second greatest was like the first. It was to love your neighbor as you love yourself. To me, at Christmas time, gathering together with what I consider my closest neighbors, which would be my spouse, my wife, who's put up with me for 36 years, you know, and then my kids and my parents and my uncles and aunts and you know, cousins, different ones that we get to hang out with. To me, Christmas is just such a fun time to remember that. So I say something a lot around here, Bob. The most important things in life are not things at all. The most important things in life are the relationships that we have with one another, and most importantly, the relationship we have with God. Christmas is, to me, a time to focus on those relationships.
Yes.
And you know, even if there weren't gifts, and I don't think it's wrong to give gifts. It's fun to give gifts. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus, and they brought their treasures to him, and each one of those gifts, you know, have a great significance. So I think gift giving is a wonderful thing if we can keep it in perspective. But to me, the greatest gift around Christmas, besides the gift that Jesus brought to us by coming in and being our Savior, is the gift of being able to just be with family and friends and to enjoy them and to focus on the fun and the beauty of those friendships and what they mean and to be reminded of how important those relationships really are. I can't really tell you about the gifts that I got last year. If I think really hard, I might could remember some of the. I still remember when I got my first purple banana bike back years ago.
Okay.
That was huge for me. But other than that, a lot of the Christmases, I can't tell you about the gifts that I got. But I can tell you about me and my sister and that uncle that I was telling you about that we were so close to, my dad's younger brother, who loves the Lord, by the way. He had planted, he would always go and usually cut Christmas trees for the family, but he had gone and dug up a couple of cedar trees and planted them on either side of my grandparents' house, and they grew huge down through the years, but he would always decorate those with lights, and then we'd go out there and we would lay there underneath those Christmas tree lights out there and talk about Christmas and talk about the gifts that we were going to get and just that friendship and how amazing those friendships are. So I remember those beautiful things about Christmas really more than the actual gifts that we got, just the friendships. Yeah.
So maybe it's not the presents that we wrap up and put in ribbon, but it's the presents of being a part of each other's life, of sharing time, of giving ourselves to each other. Visiting with people, seeing what's going on in their lives, and kind of
Absolutely.
Catching up with folks. That's the wonderful part of loving each other. But you know, You were talking about how blessed you are to still have your mom and dad, and truly that is a blessing for them, I'm sure, to see you in your ministry, but also for you to continue to do life with them. But, you know, everybody doesn't find themselves with close family like that. Can you speak to us a little bit about the comfort that's available this time of year for those who maybe feel a little lonely, a little out of the circle of life that, gee, everybody else is having such a great time, and what about me?
Yeah.
Do you have any words of comfort for those folks?
First of all, is to know that the whole meaning of Christmas, when Jesus came to be the Messiah, there was another word that was used, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And Jesus came and took on human flesh so that God with us, God wanted us to know that He cared so much about us that He was willing to walk a mile in our shoes. He was willing to live life as one of us and understand us and really get to know us from that human perspective. And so while Jesus was fully God, He was also fully man. And so He understands. And when we're lonely, we can know that Jesus said that He would never leave us or forsake us. Jesus wants to be there for us. And so we can know that He's there. But not only that, when we talk about church, many times people think of church as a building. Oh, well, there's that church, or where is your church? But the church really is the people. It's not the building. It's the people. And I had got a very dear friend in our church this past year. This person's husband was killed in an accident. So I called to check on them the other day. And this individual said, you know, my wonderful church family has been calling and checking on me. They're there for me. They helped me decorate my tree because they knew that that it would be a sad time for me to be by myself decorating the tree. And so they came. Two of her Christian church sisters came over, helped her decorate the house and decorate the tree, and they just had a great time. So if a person's out there and they really didn't have that close family, there's a family of God that is willing to embrace you and be there for you and to help you experience the presence of Christ this Christmas.
Amen. Amen. There's a group called the Navigators, and one of the things that Navigators has said in the past, that the Lord will save your soul. The church will save your life. The church will be there to walk with you and to care for you. And if there are those who are listening today who are doing the what about me, where's my place?
Yeah,
I think we can encourage them today to find a church. There are many good churches here in Slidell.
Yes,
North Shore Church here in Slidell is an excellent church. Mm. And there are other good ones as well.
Amen.
You know, to reach out and to find a church family. And as you said, with absolute confidence, and I agree with your confidence, that you'll be welcomed.
That's right.
You'll be brought closer to Christ. So,
amen.
Wonderful time today, Pastor. Thank you for spending the time with us. I know you're a very busy man with a lot going on, but I really appreciate your investing in this program and hopefully in the life of somebody that maybe you and I will never meet, for them to know that Christ loves them and that this is a time of year of hope and new beginnings.
That's exactly right. Amen. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Is there any final thought that you'd like to leave with us as wrap it up today?
Well, I guess it's really interesting that Jesus came, and many times we talk about Him being the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, our hope. But He came as the Lamb of God, but He ended up being the Great Shepherd. And when we think about the Lord is my shepherd, a passage in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled that. So interesting to me that, I don't know what you would call it, but it's just so interesting the fact that He was the Lamb of God, and yet He was the Good Shepherd at the same time. And there's a scripture that says that He carries the little lamb close to His chest. It's like, sometimes when we're struggling and we're hurting, and if there's some out there this Christmas that are really struggling and hurting and are sad and discouraged, Jesus wants to just grab you in His arms and hold you close to His chest and just to whisper to you, you know, my child, I love you and I'm here for you and I won't leave you and I won't forsake you and I'm going to get you through this time. So my prayer would be that if Christmas has been a sad time for some folks and a hard time, that they would be able to look to Christ and to that little manger scene and realize that that was God's greatest gift to us, that he came knowing that he would eventually, I mean, as he grew older, he realized that he had a purpose, and then eventually he knew that his purpose was to go to the old rugged cross to be able to take the sin of the world on his shoulders so that he could give back to the world hope. And, you know, a shepherd will protect his sheep, and sometimes a shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep, and that's what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
Lay down his life for us.
Amen. It's a great word, Pastor. Very encouraging word for all of us. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your ministry here in Slidell. You touch a lot of people's lives, and you make a big difference. Privileged to be a part of your life. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices Today here on Grace Radio. We'd like to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment, you can text a message to that number, and we will be in touch. If you have comments about today's program, something you'd like to say, a message for Pastor Larry perhaps, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We would encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can also leave a comment and keep up what's going on at Grace Radio. Also, at this time of year, check our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to the station. We're supported by listeners just like you. And again, that number to call to be in touch with us is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.